why. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boy Stevie Jobber.
It's your boy Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Jobbers podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir.
A lot of news to get to this week, but before we get to all the news, got to hit you with the cheap plug. Duke, tell them where they can find us.
Yes, sir. So, if you guys been here before, welcome back. You know where to find us. If you're new here or you just don't know where to find us, this is where you can find us. You find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, basically anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just go to that search bar, type in Dangerous Jobbers Podcast. You'll see us right there. You can find us on Instagram, on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, MySpace. And last but not least, you can also find us on the DangerousJobbersWebsite.com. So just make sure you go hit one of them little platforms. Get up on us. Stay up to date on everything that me and Stevie Jobber upload to you guys.
And if you guys skipped ahead 10 seconds because you've been here, you know what the next part is. The Wrestler of the Pod.
Yes, sir.
The Wrestler of the Pod this week, I want to shine a spotlight on Tiana James. Mm-hmm. I got the pleasure of seeing this young lady live at MLW's Never Say Never tapings against Becca, who's also very impressive. If you haven't heard of Becca before, very, very surprisingly impressive, the two of these ladies. So shout out to Tiana James. She's appeared on AEW, so you might have seen her over there in a dark match of some sort. She's just impressive. Great look, great in ring. Haven't heard her talk on the mic, but very impressive live.
Mm-hmm.
So Wrestler of the Pod this week, Tiana James.
Sounds good.
Get into a little bit of indie news. Duke, how do you feel about Jordan Oliver making the move to New Japan?
I like it. I think it's great for him and it's great for his brand. He gets to shine his light in a whole nother country and a whole nother style of wrestling that I think he's going to be very well in. I mean, obviously, we've made this dude Wrestler of the Pod numerous times before. We know he's a great in-ring talent. And just the fact that at this young age, he'll be able to expose himself to a whole nother style and grow again. It's just great for him. It's great for his brand. I'm excited for it. I'm actually going to tune into New Japan when he makes his debut to see how he fares.
Yeah, I hope he thrives, man. He's been in GCW so long, just cutting his teeth. And I feel like this could be different with him, especially Nick Wayne leaving the AEW. The East West Express is done for now.
Well, no, so, Nick Wayne's going with him.
Oh, Nick Wayne's going with him?
Yeah, oh,
they're doing both.
Well, yeah, they're both are together.
Nick is doing both.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jordan will be more of a regular.
Yeah, because he's not really tied down to one specific thing.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be, I'm excited to see it. He's been making his name sort of everywhere. And New Japan is one of those bigger stages. We saw him in MLW. We saw him in GCW. Now is like the big leap to that next level. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Exactly.
Speaking of being excited to see what people can do, Slammiversary happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time we're getting to talk about it.
Yeah.
Great show. I thought like every year, like the past 3 years, Slammiversary has just been hitting it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Just three high spots I wanted to talk about. EY returns to Team Canada. The old EY. We see him accompanying Scott D'Amore in a tag match. That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, Scott D'Amore, man. Is there nothing you can do?
He's a genius, man. Mm-hmm. He's really putting it together over there, man. I mean, very solid product. Every week, from every angle, man. Just doing it. I mean, Aussie Open just won the tag championships. That was crazy. But one of the other big things I wanted to talk about is along the the people coming back and making debuts and title matches. Leo Rush has come back and it's, I don't know if he's even been there before. This might be Leo's first time here.
I feel like Leo was there only for a little bit and then he
For a
was
very
gone.
short time.
Yeah, for a very short stint.
Well, Leo is back in Impact and immediately heads after Chris Sabin in the era of the machine guns, as it was just recently established. And they go to Slammiversary for the X Division title. Nine time, the Chris Jericho of the X Division, Chris Sabin, falls to Leo Rush in a squash match of sorts. It was really weird. I mean, Leo attacked him prior to, but even as the match started, with just like, it's kind of like a three move, you know, just kick to the face and final hour, 1, 2, 3, Leo Rush, new X Division champion. And it's kind of, it was weird, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was like, wow. I mean, it's Leo Rush, right? So I can't, but it's also Chris Sabin. So I was expecting like, you know, like a 20-minute barn burner.
Nah, not right now. It'll come eventually, but
Apparently
when
the
you,
man of the hour wasn't getting paid
yeah,
by the hour.
when you're the man of the hour, the guy who's too sweet to be sour, man, you can't sit here waste your time for 20 minutes in your first match. You got to come in, take care of business, grab your
Yeah,
belt and go.
leave with the gold immediately. And I'll bring him up again a little bit later because now I think I understand why it may have happened, even though it was super bizarre. And that's because in a match that still felt like an underdog title match, Alex Shelley defeated Nick Aldis, which is amazing, right? But of course he can't get his moment in the sun because while he's celebrating, Josh Alexander, the walking weapon, former face of Impact Wrestling, returned. You know, I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't seem like Alex Shelley can catch a freaking break. You know what I mean?
Man.
Oh man. Josh Alexander.
Do you,
If
are you thinking that he's going to lose the belt right away to Josh?
I don't, I tell you what, I don't want him to. I feel like I'm not sure where everybody's head is at because, yes, Josh is like the guy, right? But at the same time, Shelley has made such a case as to why he should be the flag bearer for at least like 6 months, 6 months to a year. So it feels too soon for Shelley to lose. Wrestling logic says Shelley wins. But booking,
Gotta remember, we're not writing.
yeah, we're not writing it. So booking wise, I feel like Josh is kind of in a John Cena spot where he can just kind of win anything at any moment. So that's crushing. But I feel like Shelley should hold it for a while. I feel like he's earned that. I feel like he's made a promo and a case and multiple promos that have established this is his time. So to have Josh come back and kind of, thanks, Ray, like John did to Ray when he got the world title back, it's kind of weird, man. It
Someone's
would
been
be kind of
studying.
weird. So, yeah. We'll get to that another time. Yeah, it feels kind of weird. So, speaking to that point, this past week on Impact, as they're having their promo, Josh Alexander and Alex Shelley, Leo Rush actually interrupts the promo just to kind of bring up the fact that no matter who wins, all Leo Rush has to do to be Impact World Champion is cash in option C,
Just
which
got to
now is
show up.
like, Okay, now I understand why he beat Shelly the way Saban the way he did. Because he's not supposed to be an X division guy. He's supposed to be a guy that's just taking what he can on his way to the world title. He's like a hitman of some sort.
You
So
can't waste your time when you're the man of the hour.
yeah, the clock is ticking for him, and time is money, and he ain't got the money to waste.
He in his Loki bag right now.
Facts. Big heel bag. So I see where they're headed, but man, does it feel like the world is just so against Shelly.
It always does, doesn't it?
It always did. That's true. It always does. It feels like the world is up against this guy, man. But hopefully he can overcome. To me, it's just a greater championship story. Moving on to some other stuff that's a little level above Slammiversary, but not the big boys. I'm giving my update of AEW as I've been forcing myself to clean, wipe the slate clean, and start watching with zero bias. And I gotta tell you, it was very rocky at first, but they're starting to put together some solid shows.
Oh, are they now?
I'm still not watching Rampage, I'm sorry, but I'm not finishing SmackDown to then tune into AEW. It's just not, I'm just not gonna do that. But Collision and Dynamite have been delivering. I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it, but it's just it's I
You
think
hate to say it. It's okay. It's okay. You'd hate to
as
say it.
it's hard to give them props after they've had such a bad run, but that's why you wipe the slate clean. They've been doing pretty well. So my AEW updates, last night, 2 nights ago. Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed fall to the House of Black, and Billy takes off his boots, leaves him in the ring, and he's very distraught, you know. And I don't know, is this Billy Gunn retiring?
Hey, I mean, if this is his way out, at least he went out having fun, you know, and that's all anybody can ask. Especially when you got to do a program with your kids, you got to do the whole thing with your kids leaving you leaving your kids, and then you got to have fun with the Acclaim for a little bit. You revitalized your whole name with the daddy ass thing. So I mean, you pushed merch. You were at one point one of the hottest things for AEW, probably still one of the hottest things for AEW. So hey, if there's any time to go out, you go out on top. And I think in Billy's case, he might have done that if this is his way out. So.
I mean, it's sad. I love Billy. But
It could also
it could be much
possibly,
worse. It could be, you know what I mean? It could be under much worse circumstances.
That's what I'm saying. And it might not be the last time we see Billy, but it could be the last time in ring, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be in management the moment he
Yeah,
steps
I'm
out of
sure he'll
ring.
go in a backstage role. He'll be a trainer, a producer, road agent, what have you. We ain't seeing the last of Billy Gunn.
At all. At all. Rising Stars. The Owen Hart tournament is over. Willow won the women's tournament and then lost to Athena for the ROH Women's title. I haven't been keeping up with ROH, but I don't know. To
It
me,
was
seems like a second place trophy.
yes, it was the match itself was solid. The ending was pretty good, but it wasn't anything extravagantly entertaining. It was just, you know, a standard match. Athena attacked her at the end of the match, so wasn't anything too crazy.
And then on the opposite side, very surprisingly, they wasted the Samoa Joe CM Punk feud to then have CM Punk lose to Ricky Starks, who has turned heel, and is the new Owen Hart tournament winner. Now, how do you feel about Starks turning heel? And how do you feel about Starks and Punk?
So to basically go off of what you said, I'm going to start from the beginning. I like that Starks is heel. He's better as a heel. He always was. It's very like media rockish, the stuff he does as a heel. So I mean, I don't mind him being healed. The problem I have is, like you said, they wasted the whole Punk and Joe dynamic. Like that would have been, I think, more entertaining. I love that Starks won the cup and all, but I would have much rather see Joe and Punk reignite what they had going instead of just, the two little moments and that was it.
Now,
I feel like you could have did something much bigger and much better.
I don't know why, but I feel as though they could have done this exact same thing with Joe beating Punk and nobody really caring. Because you could write it off as, damn, they're going to return to that. Because it's not really a rivalry if it's a constant. And my father explained this to me before. It's like it's a rivalry is not really a rivalry if the same person wins every time. So it would have been much easier to be like, this is a story thread we're returning to because Joe beat him again. And Punk can have his moment is like, man, it's still a thing. And then we move on. Nobody would care. And then Joe could get ripped off by Ricky Starks, and I'd be a little bit more excited about it because I know Joe is not taking that shit lying down. So we got a fight on our hands. I'm not quite as excited for this, but I am excited he's a heel again. I feel like Starks was better as a heel, and as much as he I like this promo this week. I like this explanation promo, but I gotta tell you, even though he mentioned, enough with the comparisons, come on.
It's still there. It's still there.
I mean, come on. You was giving mad Rocky Nation of Domination vibes.
Yeah, like
Like,
it's still there.
that was left, that felt so like die Rocky die speech,
You know what? I gotta touch on that later when we talk about somebody else.
But it was very entertaining. It's entertaining. I just wish they hadn't ruined a 17-year-old rivalry for this.
Damn, 17 years.
17 years, bro. 17 years for what? For what? For what?
Come on, Tony. Get it
Stop
together,
stealing my
Tony.
stuff, man. We're getting better, but that's a sore spot. Speaking of sore spots, yo, Jungle Boy, mad sore spot. He's killed the Jungle Boy character. He's now just Jack Perry, and he comes out to music that should only be played in like musicals and operas, and it was very corny. But he buried himself. He killed Slim Shady, and he's now just Jack Perry. And apparently Jack Perry can pull off a win against Hook. Not only taking his title, but ruining his undefeated streak. Feelings. This is nuts.
Hurt, but understandable because you built Hook as something big, gave him the FTW title, all that good stuff, and now You got to build somebody else. Now, I'm not a big fan of always killing somebody else to build somebody else. But if Jungle Boy, excuse me, if Jack Perry is going to be a big guy for you going forward.
Jungle Boy's dead, man.
Yeah, you got to, casualties need to be made. And this has the makings of something good if you can do it the right way. Just have to, just two guys, don't take no shit, just beating the hell out of each other.
If I was the writing team, I would go back and look at the beginning of Seth versus Dean. And let's just go off that.
Yeah, just sometimes.
Let's just do that better.
Yeah, sometimes all you need is just like keep it simple. Don't go crazy with it. Like have like maybe one crazy moment, but just for the most part, keep it simple. Keep everything straight and narrow. You wronged me, so I'm going to kick your ass. Then I'm going to come back and kick yours. And
this is a perfect.
We just going to fight.
This is a play that's been ran a million times.
Yeah, we ain't even got to do
nothing. We ain't got to do nothing crazy.
Just fight.
Friends, not friends. One guy's tough. One guy's, not tough. And chase ensues. Very simple. Very simple.
Pretty much.
Very easy. And it's the FTW title. It gives the FTW title relevance.
Just keep like, it FTW.
I feel like it was very good for Jack. I feel like Jack really needed a win. And if he wasn't going to get a shot at the world title and not be on that stage, and with the relevance falling from the TNT title, I feel like a win over Hook to become FTW champion is about as good of a break as you could have got.
Pretty much.
Seeing is where the other three pillars went to. This was like very much best move. I like Jack as Jack. I like him as a heel. I feel like his promos are better as a heel. And I feel like Hook is going to kill him.
Yeah, oh yeah. You already know that's the case.
And this is great. I feel like, and this is the crazy part. I hadn't gotten Jurassic Express from the rip, really. Like, I got Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. I didn't get Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and Christian Cage. Just didn't get it. I felt like it was cool, though, because they were just putting mentors with people. When Christian turned on Jungle Boy, immediately I feel like just Christian benefited for months, right? Mm-hmm. It was big for Jungle Boy for a little bit, but he could only ride that out so long with no payoff. So Jungle Boy puts Christian in the past, goes on a defeating face run, turns heel, and it isn't until this promo this week that I go, that's the Christian influence.
Yeah.
Because the moment he did his heel promo and it felt so natural, I was like, that's Christian. That's all Christian. Because Christian is the best when you hate him. He knows how to be the worst, just the most despicable, slimy, undeserving person ever. And it was oozing out in that Jungle Boy promo. So, I mean, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
They're doing tremendous work. I will say, I don't think it's the biggest thing that happened, but we do have to talk about Blood and Guts. They brung in Kota Ibushi, and Pac came in for the Blackpool Combat Club. I still kind of feel like that whole team is kind of thrown together.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, what have you. The Elite was the only one that kind of really made sense at all. So, I mean, it's what it is, but Blackpool Combat Club loses, of course. They fall apart at the end because of miscommunication in some spots between Cesaro and Pac, which led to them at Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah, I feel like that match was just another, it was just another spot fest.
Yeah, I feel like it was really a vehicle to get Coda in that
Yeah,
match.
it was just like it was a for me, a lot of people liked the match. For me, it's just another Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. We're just gonna do spots and that's it. Like we got the it was this it was pretty much the same kind of spots too, like the glass, the thumbtack boot, Mox bleeding everywhere like he always does. Coda, yeah, like you said, Coda was getting his moments to be showcased. So kudos to them on that. But it just for me, it was just like it's bad that a spot fest like that, I just watch it and I go, okay, it's another elite match. It's like it's the elites.
Somehow we're just desensitized.
Yeah, we've seen it so much from them that it's like that. Okay.
I did appreciate the bed of nails, though. I thought
Yeah, the bed of nails was a new touch that I liked, but
that was a new touch. But
it was it's the elite, so
yeah.
unless you're putting like a firework on your boot or something and then super kicking somebody with the firework, and even then it's like
That's the Bucks. You would
it's
still go like, ah, yeah, they're gonna
it's the
do
Bucks, yeah.
that's so sad. That's
You know what's crazy though? Nick Gage can do that stuff, and we're still going,
no,
holy crap.
if Nick Gage started doing the shit they do, I would be like, oh my, I would be
But
over the
then when the
moon.
Bucks do it, it's like, are we
Because they're
sure they're
gonna do
not
that.
WWE?
They're gonna do
They're
that.
like deathmatch choreography as opposed to actual deathmatch.
They're like choreography kings, man. They're just
Are we sure they're not from WWE?
not anymore. Not today.
Oh man, that's the
I don't
top of
even know
that.
how they would fly today. Like, who do you even put them with? I'll be
I'm
honest
not.
with you. I'll be honest with you. If they like came to WWE and joined the OC, I feel like that's a step back for the OC. Like, I
Yes.
mean, you guys look less threatening by comparison now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Is it bad that the first thing that came to mind when you said, where do they fit? This isn't even a tag team anymore, but the first thing that came to my mind was American Alpha.
No. They're
Yeah.
too corny for America. They'd have to be like with Pretty Deadly or something. Like, they'd have to be like that's... Yeah, because I'm thinking and I'm like, where do they even fit in the stratosphere of tag team? Like, you don't compare. You just don't compare. Like, I'm supposed to.
Thank
His super kicks
you.
don't hit like the Usos super kicks, bro. Like, let's
No.
get down to it. The real super kick party kings are the Usos.
Yeah.
So like, and they're the only ones that like y'all hit super kicks so much, I don't care. But I'll
Yeah.
tell you what, when that super kick party start for the Usos, I'm like, oh, it's downhill from here.
Yeah, this
These
means
guys,
something.
it's devastating. So
Greatest tag team of all time.
of all time.
Arguably right there.
Not very hard, but
The Bucks would never.
the Bucks would, but the yeah, that's the basis. We'll end it there. The Bucks would never. Speaking of more tag teams, FTR have gotten their new opponents from the Blind Tag Team Tournament, which I now realize was absolutely a huge vehicle to get nobody over but MJF and Adam Cole. Like in total hindsight, I remember when it started
They were the first
going,
team
who is this
announced.
for? I was like, who is this for? You're just taking people from other tag teams and putting them with people from other tag teams. What is the benefit of this? And as the weeks went on, I was like, oh. This is purely a vehicle to put MJF and Adam Cole together. No one
Exactly.
else is even supposed to be relevant here.
No.
It's just for them. So they win, of course,
Yeah, I mean, was there
after
any
their
doubt?
multiple vignettes of getting to know each other and becoming friends. And now they're going up against FTI. This Adam Cole, this what do they call it? This better than you, Bay Bay, beat FTR and become tag champions.
You could go either way on this one. You could say no, they don't, and then one turns on the other, and that's how we set up the world title feud. Or you can say they do, and then one of them turns on the other, and they still set up the world title feud. We're in this weird loophole where it doesn't matter if they win or lose, because we know eventually the feud's coming.
I feel like this is Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, man. I feel like Cole falls for the trap. I feel like they can run that into an angle where he has a fallout with Roderick Strong and fully believes that MJF is his friend. And then I feel like the seeds start sowing of the real MJF, and then you have a whole situation where, hold on, you cutting out. What'd you say?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay, I was saying I think you have a situation where they'll start planting seeds of the real MJF, and then he'll overhear MJF talking shit about him backstage. And it'll be like this slow deterioration that'll build up to like All In or All Out. And it'll probably be them for the world title on a really big stage if you do it right. But I mean, I'm not doing the writing. Who is back
Yeah,
there?
right.
But I mean, if I was to do it, it just seems like that's the best route. But I would definitely have them win, which is sad for FTR, but I mean,
They're just gonna win it back anyway.
it's gonna win. Yeah. Eventually, it'll come back to you. You guys are like the Usos of AEW. Eventually, the titles will turn. You just gotta wait. You pass it around. You'll always get your turn. That's all I got for AEW. So moving on to where the big boys play.
Yeah, so now a whole lot of something happened this past week in the world of WWE. We're going to run down it, I think, in order of importance. I think I only have maybe three things, four things to discuss with you. First thing I want to talk about is they finally got our girls scheduled and official. It is at SummerSlam, Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler. Stevie, how do you feel that this is finally happening?
It's about damn time.
About damn time.
Let her win. Then I'll. You know how I feel about it? I feel sketchy. I'll be honest with you.
Who do you think? You think this is
I
just a vehicle for
feel
Rhonda?
sketchy. I feel sketchy. Well, no, but there's I've been learning more and more in wrestling because we've been doing this for some years and we've been watching it for forever. I've been learning not to really believe something is going to happen until it happens. I can always expect it, but I can't call it till I see it because I just never know anymore. Call it Vince McMahon trauma, call it Tony Khan trauma, whatever, what have you. But I never really know when the Triple H is going to shine through. So I've learned to take these with a grain of salt. If Vince was never backstage anymore, I would be hands down excited for this because then I know exactly what it's going to be. And because if it was Triple H, the over the whole thing, I feel like it's The Rock versus Brock Lesnar at
Yeah.
SummerSlam. But because Vince is backstage more, I don't know that I can trust that. So even though that's what I would expect to happen, because Ronda sells so well and Shayna looks so devastating, why not have her be everything that she said she is? The better Ronda Rousey,
Yeah.
who at the core is a Brock Lesnar type. So it writes itself. But because I don't know what, I can't trust who's making the decisions. I just feel sketchy about it. Like, I'm happy. I feel like it's going the way it should, but I can't say what I expect to happen is going to happen until I see it.
Okay. All
So
right.
that's where I'm at.
So it's you're taking it with a grain of salt.
I'm taking it with a grain of salt, man.
Okay.
Where are you at on the LA Knight stuff?
So I, for the most part, was with a lot of the fans the last couple weeks. Like when they announced. Matter of fact, let's go back to Money in the Bank, where it's like, all right, this has got to be for LA Knight. This has got to be his platform to push him. He's white hot right now. This is the time to do it. Then it turns out Priest wins. Weeks have passed. It's like, all right, you know what? Priest was the right call. I'm not mad at it now. I wasn't mad
Absolutely.
at it to begin with, but Priest was the right call. And then we get to this US title tournament, what have you. And we see the list of names on them. We're like, okay, this is probably going to be Santos and LA Knight in the finals. Again, I'm here for that because then LA Knight's going to get his moment. And then come to find out that it's not LA Knight. It's in fact Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio. And in the moment, it's like, this really doesn't make any sense. How does this work? So sitting back, I've had a couple days to reflect, and I've come to the conclusion that LA Knight's story isn't done. You got to build this dude up some way, somehow. He's gonna get built up some way, somehow, because it's not like Triple H is deaf. He can hear us. He can hear how much people love LA Knight. When LA Knight was starting to get white hot in NXT, Triple H, what did he do? Triple H put him on a platform, let him talk more, let him feud with some of the bigger people like Tommaso and Gunther, and he showcased them. So I feel like that's going to wind up happening sooner or later. But on the other side of the coin, we have Santos and Rey in the finals, and we've been saying for a long time we want to see them push a Hispanic superstar. We just don't know which one that they're going to push. Now they're in a prime position. They can push two. And a lot of people have been failing to realize that. They've been saying we haven't had a huge Spanish star since Eddie.
We got several now. We're working on them.
Now we're at a spot where we can get two and possibly more later down the line.
Not to mention, we have also signed the highest recording artist in the world,
Yeah,
who's
so
also Hispanic.
I mean, I'm not mad at it.
And they
I
push.
want.
Oh, I got something else to talk about before we talk about the last thing too.
Okay.
Now that we bring up these things.
Yeah, so I'm not mad at it. I know sooner or later it's going to wind up happening, but for now, in this moment, I am much happier seeing LA Knight continue to grow in ring, on the mic, connect with the crowd a lot more. I'd rather see him do that before anything else. And then Santos, I'm much happier seeing him and Ray in the finals because then it can be a student beating the master type of situation. And LA Knight, or not LA
I
Knight, and
wouldn't mind one of those Lucha Libre roll-up wins at the
neither would I.
end, where Santos gets by kind of the way Ricky Starks got by, but like off just like actual skill of maneuvering different roll-ups into a sudden victory.
I think the way I could see it happening is they have a good solid match, about like, 12, 13 minutes, what have you. Ray goes 619. Hit tries to do it one time, doesn't work. Maybe tries to do it a second time. And then once that second time comes where he actually lands the 619, he goes to the turnbuckle or jumps off the ropes, does that move that he does, as Santos catches him as he lands on him, and then kind of like maneuvers that into the roll up. And
Yeah,
then he
I'm down for that.
kind of just gives him that little,
I'm down for that.
yeah.
I'm down for that.
It's a clean win, but it's still,
You just got by. You just
yeah,
got by.
still some trickery.
I'm down for that kind of win.
And Theory's run's been mid anyway, so perfect time to give it to Santos.
It's time to toss that thing off. That title's doing nothing for him. Speaking of which, though, just to give my other side of the LA Knight thing. It was weird seeing him not get it, because even I went, oh, they let Ray win? I'm seeing it now as like, I don't know. If we keep showing up for it, they might drag this thing out to the Royal Rumble, dude.
Which is a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing.
If you make him a sole survivor at Survivor Series, then it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But he needs something at every big pay-per-view. Ooh, or would they turn him heel? Like, say Theory beats Ray and then LA Knight, like, no. Or like, yeah, you could have Ray win and then Theory like destroy Ray. I mean, not Theory destroy Ray, LA Knight like
You could.
attack Ray after.
You could.
Like, I'm tired of waiting.
You could. And then even if you didn't want to just throw him in that US title picture as soon as Wright wins it, I still think you could wind up doing a feud with LA Knight and Grayson Waller. And you don't even have to turn LA Knight heel
LA
for
Knight and
that.
Grayson Waller would be perfect.
Yeah, and you don't even got to turn him heel for that. Because remember, Waller's young, he's still the newbie. Knight's kind of the seasoned vet. You could have Knight run laps around Grayson Waller while they still put on a banger.
Yeah, definitely. I'm for that. Okay. I like where that's headed. Let's leave that there. Let's get to factions. First one I want to talk about is one that might be coming.
Oh.
The Bobby Lashley, the almighty Bobby Lashley, has recently met up with the Street Profits and more recently Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams.
Yeah, right.
Could it be that the Hurt Business is reforming?
Hey, I mean, this is just hearsay, what you're saying, man. It's just accusations. It's just you're throwing out hypotheticals. We don't do hypotheticals. We don't do if, ands, buts, or maybes. We do facts. We do truth. Like if my aunt had balls, she would be my uncle. We do actual facts here. There's nothing that you can prove about him talking to these people. He could just be, offering some support. He could just be giving some friendly advice. When you're dealing with a tag team who's been down and out on their luck as of late, they might need some advice, some friendly advice from somebody who's been there. When you have the NXT World Champion trying to keep his throne, sometimes you need advice from the Almighty. That could be all it is. It's, I mean,
I mean, could be, man. I
if it's,
mean,
it's, it, is it at all possible? It most definitely could be possible, but we can't just go around making these assumptions when it comes to the
you're
Almighty.
absolutely right. He is a man that is always doing something new. You can never call what his plan is. Let's not
Yeah.
even try to.
I mean,
But it is
whatever his,
possible in some
what,
sort of way. It could be that could maybe be the case. Who knows?
but look, whatever plan the Almighty has in store, I know it has been carefully thought out. I know he has ran the scenarios, crunched the numbers. Every plan that he comes up with has a purpose, and I'm here for whatever the purpose is.
I'm just saying it's some very elite men meeting recently.
Hey, sometimes you need a meeting of great minds.
Okay. Next faction, the Judgment Day. And speaking of the Judgment Day, we spoke on Money in the Bank winner, Senior Money in the Bank, Damian Priest. Let's speak on another champion, Dominic Mysterio.
Woo.
And if
Say
you didn't know why Dom
oh,
is a champion,
I was gonna say, just say that again.
if you missed it, Dominic Mysterio
Ooh.
is a champion.
Ooh.
Now,
What kind of champion? Not a tag. Is he a tag
let's
team
just
champion?
start there. He's a singles champion.
Ooh. Ooh.
So let's start there. He's a
Got
champion.
goosebumps.
He's a singles champion. He is the most booed person in the building. And he is the new champion of a show he don't even go to.
Ooh.
Dominic Mysterio, Dirty Dom, is the new NXT North American champion, ending the reign of longtime possible face of the NXT North American title division.
Greatest NXT North American
Wes
champion of all
Lee,
time.
the greatest North American champ, beat the greatest North American title of all. First night, first day on the job, beat the greatest NXT North American world champion there was. Dirty Dom. Down in the dirt, man.
Man, it's
And
good to have friends in high places.
he did it, the only respectable way you can, which is by any means necessary.
Oh, you have to.
Full highway robbery.
But
like he got the
done
plan straight from
beautifully.
Eddie himself, just beautifully executed.
Yeah, just done beautifully.
And cheated his way to the number one spot in that North American title division.
And not only that, showed that he is a fighting champion.
Yes. Also beating, who did he beat this week?
Butch.
Live on SmackDown. Butch. Oh man.
And not no
Took the L.
scrub either.
Not no scrub. Butch is hard body, man.
And
So just
just as a cherry on top,
yeah, here's the kicker.
the first person to main event Monday Night Raw, NXT, and Friday Night SmackDown all in the same week. Now, don't you just love to see it?
Greatest heel in the business.
Look at God. Won't he do
Yo, stop playing with my boy. Here's an extra for you. This is why I love Triple H. This is why I love Shawn Michaels. This is why I love storytelling. And this is why one of my shout-outs later will be TikTok themselves. If you didn't catch it, there's a small part in the show where Tony D, made man, the Don of NXT, fresh out of jail, fresh out the jail, okay? Just got picked up by two Dons. They come back to NXT. On their way in, who did they pass the Judgment Day? Oh, Tony goes over to Dom. He says, Benny from the yard says hello.
Benny the Bumper.
Benny the Bumper. Dom goes, Benny. Benny, what a guy. And I had to replay this for Mrs. Jobber. If you didn't catch it, Benny the Bumper is from the yard, ladies and gentlemen. The only reason they know them is because they have both went to jail. Somehow, they have cooperated Dominic's story with a story that has nothing to do with them from Tony D'Angelo. And the question we've all been wondering is true. Yes, all the wrestlers go to the same jail.
Catering.
And apparently Benny the Bumper is there. But it's the little things, man.
You know what this means? Now, with sometime within the next year, because you know, when people are in jail, they're usually there for a while. Sometime within the next year, we need a character debut
of Benny the Bumper.
Named Benny the Bumper. Oh, I know what I'm creating in 2K. Where's Benny the Bumper? Where's Benny the Bumper?
Oh my god.
Benny, that's gotta be a tagline in here somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
We gotta put hashtag Benny the Bumper somewhere.
Oh my god, yes. That's gotta be how Dom steals a win to keep the championship one of these days. They have to add Benny the Bumper to Tony D'Angelo's crew, but have him debut by saving Dom from a title loss. And everyone's like, who the hell is that? And it's like, Benny. And only the people that saw that part will know who the hell that is.
What a guy.
What a guy, Benny.
Oh my gosh. See, this is why we can't fantasy book.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is why we should fantasy book.
But that's so good. That's such good writing. Oh man, that is
what a story from what a guy.
All right. Last faction. We gotta talk about the bloodline.
Yeah, man.
The bloodline as we live and breathe.
So a lot of stuff is going on with this bloodline. It has been made official. We are getting the match that we've been calling for. We are getting Jey Uso, the one, main event, Jey Uso, versus the tribal chief and the head of the table, Roman Reigns, for the WWE Universal Championship. And this will be taking place under tribal combat. Not even just a regular match. Tribal combat. We don't need no contract. We don't need nothing, because anything goes. The contract is in the blood. Anything. We want to hit you with a chair, we can. We want to light you up with a stick, we will. We putting you through a table, we want to. We going to grab some lady's sandal and whoop you upside the head with it if we feel like it. So basically, what this means is, for those of you who don't know what tribal combat is,
break it down.
From now until SummerSlam, they are not to lay hands on each other. Roman will not touch Jey. Jey will not touch Roman until tribal combat can commence at SummerSlam. And if you wondered, if this makes any sense, if this is actually the case, this past Friday on SmackDown, Solo aimed to attack main event Jey Uso. And just to show that this is legit and he is absolutely here for this, Roman stops Solo. And if I'm not mistaken, This is the first time Roman has ever stopped Solo from attacking someone. Now, if that don't tell you how serious tribal combat is, I don't know what will.
Yeah,
Came
man.
straight down from the elders.
I was watching a video of somebody breaking this down. Just the concept of what tribal combat is to them and why it changed Roman's character. The reason he stopped Solo is because if Jay is harmed in any way that can be traced back to the tribal chief, he's punished by the elders. They are vowed to be stand-up gentlemen until tribal combat. And the fact that the elders had the idea for tribal combat is, it means a lot to Roman because that means the elders are against him. That's why earlier in the promo, when he goes to the elders, know about this. He doesn't even, it's not even in his head that they're anywhere on Jay's side. Like, this isn't even on the radar for them in his head. So when he has to take off the delay, I remember, I feel
delay.
Like, and you see the change in his character, it's bigger than them.
Yes.
It's like the Marvel gods have chosen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is a, or if you've seen Spider-Man, like, this is a canon event. Like, he can do nothing to stop this.
Yeah.
So this is big, man. I like it. I like the main event, Jey Uso terms coming back. It's like, you did, now I gotta get you. I like that the get you is coming back. I want the shirt to come back for real, but I like the real truck, the real chief shirt. I dig the real chief shirt. But I'm just here for it. I'm here for it. I'm here for the new dynamic in their relationship that's going to come about in the weeks we have left until, which is like this week, right? Is it this week?
Next week is SummerSlam.
It's next week is SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be interesting to see how the character changes between them are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I so badly, either this week, next week, or at SummerSlam, I so badly want to see the elders. Like, we need all of them. We need Afa. We need Sika. We need Rikishi. We need any elders that are still here. We need them there.
Had a Rock's mom come. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. She's a part of this too.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, bring her there.
Bring Haku bring Rock. In. Don't make him a real person, but like have Haku off in the corner because he's a cousin. He's not actually in the family, but he's close.
No, look, at this point, anybody who is somehow connected to that bloodline, bring him in.
Bring him in, man. Bring him in.
Sit Tamina down over there too.
Right.
Like, yeah, she's not an elder, but she's still.
She'll be there.
Yeah, bring anybody here. Bring Naya in too.
Bring everybody, man. Bring everybody.
Even the ones that aren't elders that are just a part of the bloodline, a part of the island. Have them man. Be around, but have the elders there.
I mean, yeah. Have Tomo outside the ring.
Oh, you know what?
Have G.O.D. outside the ring. And
dude, I really think that's what you need to do now. I think.
Like, let's tie in everyone. Let's really collaborate to bring this forward. Have Fatu and Zilla show up and some old SWAT team.
Bring in Jimmy Snuka Jr. Why not?
Yeah, man. Why not, man? Have the whole family there. Like, let's really blow this up. Like, let's.
Yeah, bring Deuce back. We're gonna bring Deuce in too.
Oh snap!
Deuce. That's Snuka Jr. We're gonna bring Deuce back.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but this has huge implications for the bloodline for SmackDown as a whole. And I really think that's what I want. That's what I need. We need the elders there. And just have them like sitting in three chairs.
You know what would be crazy because there's a writer's strike?
Okay. Bring it on.
It's all right. We're just about to hit an hour, so this is not overdoing it.
Bring it on.
What if they had the elders meet and they had to stand in front of the elders and like make a ruling? And the rock came out to make the ruling against Roman Reigns. And then he lost the J, and Roman didn't blame anybody else but the Rock the whole time. And then the Rock like makes an appearance the Raw after the Rumble, and Roman just snaps on the Rock to set them up. You're the reason I'm not tribal chief anymore. It's not even about J. You were the one that went against me. It's your fault that this is happening.
You know what? Like Jay wins, and then when it comes time to get the lay put on Jay, they have the real head of the table. They have the real head of the table come out and put the lay on him. It has to be put on by the head of the table. And then Roman goes to do it.
And that's what the elders are there for. Have the elders come out. Yo, have the elders come out at the end of the match with the lay. And Roman like go to take the lay to put it on Jay as part of the ritual, and they stop him. And he's like, "What's going on?" And then Rikishi's like, "It can only be put on by the head of the table." And Roman's like, "The fuck are you talking about?" And then the Rock's music hits. Yo. Yo, that would be
That
nuts. That would
would
be
be a mind fuck. And
nuts.
then Roman is just mad the entire
Pissed.
time.
The resentment. Oh my
Like,
goodness.
and then his thing is just he wants the Rock.
Yes. After that, it's not even about Jay. I want the Rock. The disrespect. Oh my goodness. That would be crazy. That would
Because
be
then that's the
crazy.
perfect way. We don't even have to worry about Roman being in the title picture at Mania.
Because now he's beyond the title. Like,
Oh, see, now that's beautiful. Because you can tie up so many things that way. Roman can go off with the Rock. Cody could finish the story.
yo, you know what would be the craziest thing? Let that shit happen. And then the SmackDown after that,
We just did it. We
had
just
a
made
show
Mania.
go off. Had a show go off with like Roman making it up, had the whole night be like Roman speaks at the end of SmackDown. Roman speaks at the end of SmackDown. Roman shows up at the end of SmackDown, beeline to the ring straight from the limo. He ain't even got a promo. He just gets on a mic and just starts shouting, waiting for the music to hit. And then Jay come out like, "Yo, he not here, dog. Are you okay? Like, do you need help? Like, this is. I've never seen you like this." he's not gonna be here, man. I'm sorry.
Dude,
Just
we just made Mania
full
wide open for
breakdown. Like,
everybody.
oh my God.
We
That's gonna be the biggest mania in the world.
just
The
busted
get back.
WrestleMania wide open for everybody.
Roman's get back. Mania.
Oh man. That's gonna be another episode we gotta do. Fantasy Book Mania.
Just have Rock like not even address it for like months. Just
It's kind of like the Cena thing. Cena keeps calling for him, he don't answer.
he don't answer.
He just pop up at Survivor
Yo.
Series. Or no, he pop up at the Rumble.
All right. We're after the hour. We're just ranting now. I'm gonna end it, but we could take this so many places.
I think it's
All
time we
right.
get into these shout outs.
Yeah, man. All right. My figure four this week, I want to give a general shout out to TikTok. Not because TikTok is doing anything super amazing, but because I said that comment about Benny the Bumper on their TikTok video, and it like blew up. So appreciate you guys for that. Love the support. I want to give a second shout out to What's the Status, who I've shouted out before. But following the Bray Wyatt pack, just immediately breaking down everybody and giving me a Bo Dallas that's presentable and a Bray Wyatt I can use. I'm gonna keep the I've been keeping the entrance. They have one that is automatically an alternative attire, and then they have one that is for separate. I've been using the one that's an alternate attire because I really like the new Bray entrance. I just don't like the new Bray as much. So I've maneuvered it. He's allowed me to maneuver it in a way where the Uncle Howdy is Bo and the Bray is old Bray, but the entrance is new. It's just dope. So shout out to him. Just always making it happen for the people. He's like Robin Hood of 2K. Shout out to him. I want to give a shout out to the Apron Bump podcast. Just because, they're cool, man. They're cool. And they've been on TikTok. They've been on Twitter. And somebody had like this issue with Gunther's title reign because we're such story people. You got to call these people out, man. Somebody on Twitter was like, I don't get the story of Gunther's title reign. And the Apron Bump retweeted it and went, he's unstoppable. That's the story.
Pretty much.
And it's excellent, by the way. And I was like, I just commented, exactly. That's,
Let me guess,
thank you.
you didn't get Asuka's undefeated streak in
Yeah,
NXT either.
nobody just gets it anymore that they're unstoppable. Just, it's so hard to wrap your head around. So thank you to the Apron Bump for being bold enough to point that out. Yeah, is he's undefeated. He's amazing, in case you didn't notice. And last but not least, man, Doghouse Gaming, all your retro gaming needs. Tweak, man, I'm coming up there soon. I'm coming up there soon. He's up in Quakertown. If you have the time, follow him on IG, follow him on Facebook. The Doghouse Gaming. They're just tremendous.
Never know. Maybe I'll have to check them out myself one of these days.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. We'll take you up there.
Yeah, so my shout outs this week, I'm gonna keep them short and simple, man. Straight Shoot Wrestling Podcast. I've been enjoying their content. They've been dropping, they've been doing some awesome segments, awesome shows. So if you haven't seen them, make sure you go check them out. And then, we're gonna shout out our Instagram people. You got Dita Toy Hunter, you got RK Pop, two dope friends of the show, always dropping excellent content. If you haven't seen anything that they've been doing lately, make sure you go check them out. I think soon we're doing a SummerSlam live stream, so make sure you check that out as well. And then Dirty Heels Podcast, man. They always doing great stuff. They always showing us love. So we're gonna send it back to them. You can check them out, Spotify, Instagram, any podcasting platforms just like us. You could check them out over there. And I believe that's it. That's all for this episode, guys. So thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you for showing us some love. If you've been here before, you know the deal. If you haven't been here and you made it to the end, make sure you check out one of our other platforms that we're on, be it Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Facebook, TikTok, and dangerousdroppers.com. Make sure you guys go check them out. Hit the bells for the notifications. Get LinkedIn. Stay up to date on everything that we do. But that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. And as always, stay
Stay
dangerous.
dangerous.
People have been asking me, to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?